even if you're never the person that's up front, you are still giving something that adds to the whole experience of the community at worship. Mm-hmm. And how you are, if you're just in the pew, as we say, how you are and how you give yourself to God in every moment and on every Sunday makes a difference to the, to how we are as a community before God every week. So we're all part of that. We're all part of that. And even if you come and you're having a bad day and you're the person that's a bit crumbly that Sunday, but that's okay as well. Mm-hmm. You can bring that of yourself and you will find you're part of this community who's still doing this meaningful thing, this odd, bizarre thing of worship. What are we doing? You know? But we're given something that matters together to God. And however we all are, we all show up as we are, and the richness of that and the sharing of that and the connections among each other and with God, it all matters.
Welcome back to Emerging Emmaus, and here we are with dear friends from Gorbals Parish Church, Katrina and Joe. Can just introduce yourself to us a wee bit. Tell us who you are and why you're in the Gorbals.
Okay, hello, I'm Joe Love. I'm part of Gorbals, but quite a recent part of Gorbals, actually, really just since the whole COVID hit us. And came on board much more fully than I had before because of the lockdown. And also just in the last couple of years since we've been without a minister, I was asked to be the worship coordinator of our worship team, which has been a little team of willing people within the congregation of all different levels of experience who have been willing to come together and keep the pattern of worship going. So I'm at the helm of that, the sort of anchor point of that, to help that to keep being a pattern that works for us. And I'm doing that as a bit of my work time. So I work as a resource worker with the Wild Goose Resource Group, which is part of the Iona community. So it's a kind of secondment arrangement I'm in with the Church of Scotland, where there's a bit of my time that I can give in an official work capacity to fulfil this worship coordinator role. So, and it's just great to be part of Gorbals anyway. It'll be my home church anyway. So it's great to be here.
Lovely, lovely. And Katrina?
So I've been in Gorbals Church a bit longer than Joe. It's almost exactly, I think, 26 years since I came down for 1 week and happened to meet the man who's now my husband, and I've been here ever since. So although I don't live in the Gorbals, I've been around the Gorbals for a long time. And then for 11 years, I was a community worker in Gorbals in a charity called Bridging the Gap, which had been started by our congregation in the local Roman Catholic Church. And that came to an end 2.5 years ago, and there was a vacancy for a community worker in our congregation. And after checking it out with some people, I applied for it and was delighted to be offered the post. So I'm here quite a lot of the week, really, and try and keep an open door and keep the connection strong between the congregation and the community.
Lovely. And helping us today with the podcast is Joe Black. Tell us a wee bit about yourself, Joe. You're standing in for Ruth, who's taking a sidestep. She'll be back, but it's great to have you involved.
Yeah, stepping into some big shoes there. So my name's Joe, and I am a candidate for ministry, just finishing up my training at New College and my final placement, which is going to be with Sanctuary First, which is delightful. My home church is Holy Trinity Wester Hales. I have a real heart for priority areas. It's somewhere that excites me and delights me to see the way that God works in very tangible ways. And so I'm really excited to hear from Joe and Katrina just about what's happening in the Gorbals in this transition time.
So let's get there. Tell us a bit, Joe and Katrina, about what's happening with you. You're in a period of transition, and that's not easy, and it's exhausting, and Tell us a bit about that, but tell us about the hope that there is, and you know, worship is such an important part of our life and who we are, and that grows hope in us.
So when our last minister, before retiro, when our last minister was still here, we had some discussions about, well, what is going to be the way forward, and that reality that it was highly unlikely that when he retired, we would be instantly, oh yes, you can call another minister, because all the mission plan process was already well underway, and so we fully expected there'd be some sort of adjustment at some point. But there was just that question of, well, how are we going to sustain the pattern of worship once we're in vacancy? And there's always that choice about having pulpit supply and maybe people that you know less well, or complete strangers, in fact, you know, coming week in, week out. And there's just that awareness that, for one thing, there aren't many people who are even available to do pulpit supply, because there's so much demand and so many vacancies, especially in Glasgow. So it was just that question of, well, could we find a sustainable pattern within ourselves, drawing on the experience and the goodwill of people that were already members of the congregation. We've certainly been really blessed at Gorbals. We got, for example, two extremely experienced and willing to lend a hand retired ministers within the congregation. We've had other folk that have had extensive experience in worship development work, including myself. And so I was approached by our minister when he was still around, just to say, well, Joe, how would you feel about maybe stepping into just being that anchor point, just being that coordinator role, to see if there's enough of a team of folk that are willing to take turns to lead worship. So we put out the word, and we started off with about 10 people. So the plan was we would set up a rota for 3 months at a time, and we would always lead in pairs. It was never going to be a solo ask. We'd always work, we'd always plan and prepare and lead in pairs. And we decided that we would have the Spill the Beans worship material would be our base for our themes and content and the sort of thing that would give us that flow and that continuity. So we launched out. How will this go? Great experiment. Let's try it. And as the months went on and this pattern worked broadly, and trying to pair together less experienced with more experienced people, and we had people that had never led worship before that were willing to give it a go. And I think maybe after the first 3, 6, 9 months, we began to really see, oh gosh, we're quite heartened by this. This is working. And I think, I mean, we can laugh about it, and we do laugh about it, but I think people in the wider congregation, maybe one or two of them, were saying, gosh, we really thought we would miss having a minister, having that one person, you know, it's the minister. We really thought we would feel bereft, but actually we're coping. We're coping much better than we thought we would. And also just to have the variety of voices, the variety of styles, the variety of experience as the folk who were leading week in, week out, and that was really seen as a good thing, hearing different voices, different ways of doing it, different ideas, you know, without saying that we're all sort of, you know, up there highfalutin theologians and have got clever things to say about the gospel or whatever, but you know, there's just been that down-to-earth approach, and we began to see, yeah, this is a sustainable pattern. This is quite amazing. It's quite encouraging. So that's been us. But yeah, it's been precarious too. Just recently, as it so happens, one of our very experienced folk had to step back, just feeling, you know, the time had come, age and mobility and energy, feeling a bit more depleted. And so it's quite rightly stepped back. We've had other folk just, you know what it's like, life commitments, other things come. One of our good team members took on a very important community council role and just felt, just time-wise, had to step back. So even in the last just few months, really, the team has almost shrunk by half, We've also had people that have just had to take time out temporarily in the hope of coming back on the team. So it's almost precarious at the moment. There's really only about five or six of us that are keeping that pattern going, which does feel a lot more vulnerable. But also, having said that, we put the word out to the wider congregation and just said, are there some of the other folk who are maybe not feeling up to being part of the worship team and planning and leading and taking a substantial role in leading, but you know, you would be a voice to do a Bible reading or maybe to do a prayer, just to do an odd involvement. So we've got almost an extras list, the kind of worship extras, if you like, and that's now a list of 20 people. So the extras are the ones that we can call on, again, just to keep that variety of voices and just, you know, will you do the Bible reading or will you step in and do this or be willing to be asked just for those one-off where we're just giving you what to say and there's not so much preparation time or having to think through writing a prayer, for example. But, you know, and that's what Spill the Beans has been good for. There's always something there to start with. You can adapt it, but there's material there to start with. So that's kind of where we're at. Just recognising the vulnerability and the fragility of it all, but keeping the show on the road and largely it's working, it's being enjoyed, and yeah, that's us.
Can I say something about what it's like to be in the pew? Well, we don't have pews, but I don't take part in leading worship. Occasionally, I'll do a reading, but I think one of the things that I feel has happened in that process is it's really drawn us closer together as a congregation, and that's partly because of the honesty that some people have shared in worship. So I think one Sunday that stands out to me is where someone, as part of the you know, going over the Bible story, I can't remember which one it was now, was very honest about her mental health, and it was a real moment in, you know, in the congregation, which I feel kind of gave permission to others to be a bit more open. And also that it's been lovely to see people grow, you know, people that were maybe quite quiet and you would never have thought would even have entertained being on the worship group, who now write and give sermons very competently, and you know, you just see them blossoming and see a whole new side to them that we didn't see before, and see, you know, there's less nervousness and more confidence in the people that are leading worship. And I think you know, what's that quote, what's that film, you know, what life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. That's what it's a bit like on a Sunday. You know, you go, oh, who's on this week? What's it going to be like? And that's part of the joy of turning up for worship. There's always something new and interesting to enjoy and take away with you or be challenged by.
And what about how does this connect with the community, Katrina? Or, you know, going out into the community, coming into worship, and of course, being involved in the community is worship, but, you know, How does that look for you?
So when I came into post, we were just coming out of lockdown, and there was very little things that were going on in person. They were just beginning to start. And can I say that being a community worker online is not a lot of fun? It's just not what we're built to do. So I felt very strongly there was sort of, I guess, three things. So first thing was, I felt that my role was to try and bring the congregation and the wider community closer together. As a congregation, we've had a history of setting up some very successful projects in the end and then kind of letting them go. So that I felt that our connection to the community had been increasingly arm's length. And that's not a bad thing, but maybe that the balance was needing to swing back, that there needed to be a closer physical connection between members of the Sunday congregation and members of the community. The second thing was that because we were coming out of lockdown, that the most important thing we could offer was a safe and welcoming place for people to come. So it was really literally about opening the door, putting the kettle on, and seeing what happened. And then the third thing was that prior to lockdown, I suppose our main interface between the congregation and the community, although again it was kind of done slightly at arm's length, was when you walk into our church building, the first thing you encounter is a cafe space. It's not the sanctuary. And we had run a cafe which had had to close. We had just got it up and running. New cafe manager was open for 3 weeks and lockdown came. And then we made a couple of attempts to reopen it during the pandemic. And by the time I came into post, the cost of living crisis had hit, and I just felt you just shouldn't need money to come across the door of a church. It just didn't sit right with me. So to find a way to use that kitchen cafe space in a way that didn't involve people having to spend money. So I mean, really we just opened the doors. We've got a big, massive, huge door across the front of the church, so when it's open it's really obvious that it's open, and started doing things like putting flowers in the window and just showing signs of life, and people just started to come. I mean, people just, Garbles is a bit like that. We're all a bit nosy in Garbles. We all want to know what's going on with each other and in places. And people would just stick. I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, is the cafe reopened? That, to be honest, was why a lot of people started coming in. And we just started to build up a community life through that. It wasn't any big fancy programme. I guess I was able to build on the links that I had from having worked in the community for a long time. So we've got these two big windows that go straight onto the street. And I spent the first 6 months, you would maybe have someone in having a cup of tea and someone would go past them and I'd go, could you just hold on a minute? And I'd go running out the door and go, John, John! And they'd be like running after people down the street going, how are you? And then, you know, this is where I am now. Would you like to come in, maybe take a mobile phone number? Because, of course, you can't take your contacts with you when you leave. And that kind of helped to reconnect with people. So gradually we've developed a kind of community kitchen. You know how you go in with kind of ideas. I had thought our big thing was going to be running a community fridge. In my previous job, we had had like a destitution food cupboard, so it was like tins and lent things that were offered to people, but it was all dry goods or tin goods, and the people that used it would often ask for fresh fruit and vegetables. And I was still in touch with my old work, and I said, well, why doesn't the church start a community fridge, and then that gives access to fresh fruit and vegetables to people, but also, because we were interested in being an eco congregation, it would, if we made it primarily about food waste, it would be a response to the crisis in the environment, but also give access to free fruit and vegetables to people that didn't have it. But that's not been the major thing. It's part of it, but actually cooking and serving foods in what is now the community kitchen and putting the leftovers as ready meals into the fridge has become the major thing. So I don't know if you want to chip in anything.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Katrina having said, what is it like for her in the pew that's not a pew? You know, being a member of the congregation and I suppose having that window on the bit of our life that's where I have a sort of a bit of a key role. But if I could reflect back as being one of the punters that very occasionally, and I'm not here a lot during the week, but the times that I do come in during the week. But yeah, just me having that bit of a perspective on what is Katrina's core work and what Katrina's role enables to happen here, and all that she says about just people coming in and you don't know who's going to cross that threshold any day of the week and come for a lunch or come to see what's in the fridge or just come to hang out with people or come to some of the groups that are ongoing. You know, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, yeah, as someone who occasionally I cross the threshold myself, sometimes very purposefully and sometimes just to come and say hello. And it's just such a people place, you know, with all the chaos and vulnerability of how people can be and not, but all the laughter and friendship and incredible bonds and people, from all walks of life, and you know, we have quite a cultural, you know, multicultural sort of community. So folk of, yeah, just all kinds, just being here and being together and sitting down having lunch, you know, the whole community that is built over food, just eating together, you know, who's making the food, who's serving the food, who's sitting down, who's putting the coffee on. I mean, yeah, it's so simple, but it's so powerful. So powerful. And yeah, it's just
very, very Jesus.
Yeah, very Jesus. Absolutely.
Joe, do you have any questions at this point? Anything you want to come in on before we move?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just encouraging to hear these stories of people coming together and being drawn in. What has been one of the encouragements of working as part of sort of a team basis for keeping this worship going? What is some of the things that you've seen God doing through that?
I live and breathe. My middle name is teamwork. I mean, the teamwork in itself is the chief joy to me, to have the chance to be alongside people that are willing to give things a go, willing to learn, for those that are experienced to let that experience be at the service, literally, of those who are less so, and building each other up. You know, and just that willingness to say to each other, you know, oh, what you did was great, here's how it could be even better, you know, or just watch that wee thing. Or, I mean, for example, one of the folk that I know Katrina was thinking of that's on our worship team, who started off as the sort of person you think they were really quiet and not led worship much at all, but willing to give it a go. And when they were first given it a go, as is typical of many of us when we're a wee bit nervous and we're not very sure and we're up front and it feels like a big deal to begin with, someone who would speak very fast. And so I had to sit down and just say, can you just watch the pace of your voice? You know, just practice that, slowing things down a bit. And through talking about it, what they learned to do was, when they had literally their script in front of them and all their words in front of them, just when they were typing it out, just to literally double space it and to put in a few, take a red pen and put in a few markers that were just breathe, you know, pause, breathe, pause, and just literally so that visually on the page of what was in front of them were those sort of reminders, just stretch this out, slow this down, put in the wee breaks, just put some marks that remind you constantly just to do that, slowing things down, bit clearer, bit more deliberate in every word you say, you know, and just paying attention to that. And what a huge difference, just such a simple thing. What a huge difference. And just to see that particular team member just blossom in that way, and just getting upskilled. You know, what are these wee things, that the wee nuts and bolts of how we lead and how our presence is as a worship leader? It's always that sort of paradox that the more skilled you are, the more you disappear, you know, and that's the point. It's not about you're doing it well so that you get admired as a great performer. It's you're doing it well so that you can get out of the way and the community can offer their worship to God. And you're there to hold that space so that that worship can be offered, you know, and so that's the point of being skilled. It's not so that you're the great grand, oh, you know, I'm God's gift to worship leading, but it's so that I'm doing it well, because that is my offering, is the doing it well so that I disappear and folk can worship. So and just having those sort of conversations with the team, you know, we do have a wee we have a pattern where every so often we'll make sure we meet in person as a team and just say, how is everyone? How are things going? Any bits of feedback? What's been going well? Anything that you feel has been a bit tricky? And it's just learning from each other. So I just love the whole synergy and that continual learning from each other, and not saying that it's always the experience will teach the inexperience. It's always that mishmash of everybody learning from everybody, and the teamwork in itself being the joy. It's always a completely different experience to be up front when there's someone else there with you, and you're not the sole voice and you're not the sole leader. you know, and to plan and to get that whole sharing of ideas and the planning of a service is all is good. It's just much more fun. It's much more enjoyable. It's much richer. It's how we learn from each other. It brings more depth. It brings more breadth of ideas. And yeah, it's encouraging, and folk don't feel, oh no, I'm doing the service all by myself. Where do I start? You know? So yeah, the teamwork in itself. Teamwork. And I think as Katrina says, that sense of the whole congregation being brought closer together, I think there's much more of an awareness, maybe. And maybe, you know, because we know that we're in kind of crisis times, but that the whole congregation is a team. And that even if you're never the person that's up front, you are still giving something that adds to the whole experience of the community at worship. Mm-hmm. And how you are, if you're just in the pew, as we say, how you are and how you give yourself to God in every moment and on every Sunday makes a difference to how we are as a community before God every week. So we're all part of that. We're all part of that. And even if you come and you're having a bad day and you're the person that's a bit crumbly that Sunday, but that's okay as well. Mm-hmm. You can bring that of yourself, and you will find you're part of this community who's still doing this meaningful thing, this odd, bizarre thing of worship. What are we doing? You know? But we're given something that matters together to God. And however we all are, we all show up as we are, and the richness of that and the sharing of that and the connections among each other and with God, it all matters. That's all part of that big team.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think one of the things about worship and Sunday is that there's permission to enter into it in whatever capacity you have on that day, because some people bring really big stuff. You know, there are several people that are in and around the church that I often think, the fact that you are here fully dressed and reasonably coherent is a miracle, and you've made it through another day. You know, that is literally what it's like for some people. You know, and so there are people that sometimes can, I know there are people that sometimes get to the door and can't make it through. You know, and maybe 1 in 4 weeks they'll actually make it through the door. There's someone currently that is very nervous and just sits at the back and doesn't feel able to be in the body of the kirk, but sits at the back. We sometimes have someone who sits out in the cafe area, but the doors are open, so they're able to participate from there. They've also got a wee kind of side ministry of answering the door, because the door goes during the service as well, and doing wee fly cups of tea, you know, while the sermon's going on. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that I really love about the church is there really is that permission to be yourself. We used to have somebody who had dementia who would just dance at the front of the church. You know, that was what she did for a bit. And actually we've got somebody else who always gets somebody up for a dance at the end, when there's a kind of, you know, the music at the end as they all kind of head out for a cup of tea or coffee. And that is one of the things I love about the congregation.
I don't know if it's worth mentioning this, but before I really came on board with Gorbals, it was a few years ago, it was before the lockdown, and it was a service. It was December, and I wasn't part of Gorbals at all then, and I had not long moved house out of Glasgow out to a wee village, and I'd been along to the village church, and yeah, been along to the village church. And anyway, that December, a close friend and colleague of mine was terminally ill, and the end was near, so it was very personally a really, really tough time. And it came to the Sunday before Christmas, and I wanted to go to church. I mean, I wanted to go and worship. I wanted to be part of a community. And because I was new to the community I was then living in, out in the wee village where I stay, I felt that if I went to church, I would be crumbly. And I didn't know that that was going to feel safe among folk who I hadn't really got to know well at that point. But I was just desperate to not go to church. And so I was thinking about it like the day before, thinking, what am I going to do tomorrow morning? Like, what am I going to do? Like, I just want to go and be in a community and be in God's presence together with a community, and what on earth am I going to do? And then just suddenly it was like, I could go to Gorbals. Like, I already had friends here. I mean, this has not been a strange congregation to me for many years. Lots of friends here and other work connections with Gorbals. And it was just like when I realised I could go to Gorbals. So I got up and, you know, and that's what I did. And it was that sense of I could come here because it was safe to be in whatever state I was in. And I was crumbly and it was fine. And folk were there for me, and that was just one of the big factors, I suppose, that later on when it became, well, maybe this is where I should totally throw in my heart and my hat and belong. That was one of those seminal moments that I thought that's the reason why, because you can come and be crumbly, or you can be joyful, you can come and dance, you can come and be daft, you can come and sit at the back, you can come and be whatever. And try and all enable that to be a place for each other and for whoever, anytime. So here I am.
You're clearly a part of a community that is expressing, experiencing the love of Jesus, allowing people to be ourselves and to be taken from where we are. It's beautiful to hear. And the role of the Holy Spirit, he's you know, the character of God, he's self-effacing. You've been describing a self-effacing, you know, a coming together as community and pointing to God, worshiping God. It's fantastic, really lovely to hear. And maybe briefly, Joe, you could tell us, that's Joe Love, if you could tell us a wee bit about, you know, Wild Goose and what's happening with the worship material that comes out from Wild Goose. Is there a ongoing creativity that's happening in the Iona Wild Goose stuff?
The Wild Goose Resource Group, to give us our full name, please. yes, there's absolutely an ongoing creativity, Neil. And in fact, literally this week, I've been involved in interviews of a potential new colleague. So that's under wraps at the moment. The appointment has been, it's tentatively been made. And so, yes, we're just really, I mean, talk about the whole church being in transition. The Wild Goose Resource Group is in transition. Yes, John Bell officially retired a year and a half ago. So, yes, we're just on that in that stage of expanding the team again. So I'm really excited. I'm going to be part of a team again. And being the kind of sole worker holding the fort for just over a year. So yes, absolutely. And with any change, there might be some new directions of travel, different people. I mean, I'm still here, but different other people. So bringing to the mix their own strengths, with quite a lot of focus. The new worker is going to have quite a lot of focus on the music side of things. Great hopes. And yes, we're aware that a lot of the resources that has been created and written arising from real life situations of worship and different events over many years are still there and still seem to have some lasting value and are still of use to people, which is great. And, you know, as the name suggests, we try to be our resource. We try to be resourceful and useful to people, and we'll continue to offer the best of what we can offer for as long as it seems to be scratching where people itch and all that. We're very, very alive and well.
I'm excited to hear that. It's lovely. It's great, great to hear. Joe, what about takeaway? And we're encouraging our listeners to think about, well, what are we taking away from our conversation today?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I love in when speaking to congregations like the Gorbals is that sense of reality, but also that sense of a God-created community and the safety that there is even within transition and mix up, the safety for people to try new things the safety for people to take risks, perhaps with things they haven't done before, and also create within that safety that room to challenge and disciple and train. God loves the learner, thank goodness, because we're all learning day to day. And I think just the encouragement that even within this time of change, that the life that I'm hearing within the community work and within your worship, and the encouragement we can take from the fact that even in these times, which sometimes people would assume are a time of pause, but actually it sounds like it's a time of real growth in unexpected ways within individuals and within the community. So I think for me that's a challenge. Like, where have we put things on pause in our minds? But actually we need to look to where God's bringing growth and chances for people to try the new within the safety of the love of his family.
Lovely. And the thing that, there's lots of things that have struck me and encouraged me and challenged me. I think the thing that really arises from what you're saying, or comes out from what you're saying, both of you, Katrina and Joe, is the permission God gives us to be, to truly be loved, who we are, where we are, how we are. And I sense from the community that you're a part of and growing, and growing in and through, you know, I think that story that you told there, Joe, of needing to be in community, needing to be in God's presence with God's family, that yearning, that draw, that experience had and have now in the Gorbals community of faith, is so precious. What God's doing, an encouragement, please. Oh, keep on keeping on, as surely you will do, by the grace of God. In the face of being stretched left, right, and centre, and just the very fact, Katrina, you were getting dragged left, right, and centre there in the middle of our chat, and then we heard the police, or the, it sounded like a police van.
I'm reading a book just now called Being Interrupted, which I would highly recommend for any church community workers. And it's all about, you know, going with the flow and kind of letting go of the agenda. It's quite challenging, but for some reason, the title drew me in.
Question is, will you get a chance to read it without being interrupted? So
that is the challenge. Yeah, it's beside the bed. I get less interrupted. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Katrina and Joe, for joining us and sharing so openly, honestly, and lovingly. It's been a real privilege. And thank you, folks, for joining in. Thanks, Joe Black, for sharing and participating and helping us with this interview. And please subscribe and follow what's happening with Emerging Emmaus. And if you have a person, a people, a community, a church that you would like us to interview, that you think the wide world would benefit from hearing about, please let us know and encourage us, challenge us. Let's be stretched together as we journey with Jesus on the road to and through and beyond Emmaus. Blessings. In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain, hope hard to sustain, love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen? Blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away. Come in to stay. You've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive? No need to strive, chance to thrive, Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste. Now we have a taste to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus, a well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long, how long? Good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.